This is Vatican Radio, and I am Lydia O'Kane. People all around the world are celebrating the Feast of St. Patrick of Ireland, which is marked on March 17th. It's the one day in the year when landmarks such as the White House Fountain and the Colosseum turn green for the occasion, and everyone is Irish, if just for a day. Here in Rome, the Irish community began celebrations on Thursday by attending Mass at St. Isidore's Church near the famed Via Veneto, run by the Irish Franciscans. Father Micheál McCrae, OFM, is the guardian of St. Isidore's and spoke to me about St. Patrick's enduring legacy.
It seems that everybody wants to have St. Patrick as their saint because it's celebrated in so many places.
It's a worldwide phenomenon, St. Patrick's Day. And in some ways, I think you could separate the religious festival and for the national day kind of festival. And well, it's not always celebrated religiously where it's celebrated festively. And I think here in Rome, we try and combine both.
You talked there about kind of splitting them apart. Is that a danger, though, that you have even in Ireland, that the Patrick's Festival celebrating, leaving the saint out of it, having Patrick's weekend? You see that quite a bit now. Do you think there's a danger there that you're taking the saint out of the day?
I think there's two things. I think there's a historical dimension to this. One could say that St. Patrick's Day, as Ireland's national festival, started here in St. Isidore's about 1630, because Luke Wadding, who founded St. Isidore's, was very much involved in a number of congregations in the Vatican. And he was particularly involved in a congregation that was revising the liturgical texts and drawing up a new liturgical universal calendar of the church. So Wadding managed to get St. Patrick inserted into a new universal calendar of the church about 1630, which meant that St. Patrick had to be was not just an Irish saint, but had to be celebrated by the church all over the world, from Navan to Nagasaki, if you put it that way. And we know from very, very early sources in the house archives here that St. Patrick's Day was celebrated with particular solemnity here in St. Isidore's. We also know that, for example, when James III, who was recognised as the legitimate king of Great Britain and Ireland by the papacy and the Catholic powers of Europe, when he lived in Rome for nearly 50 years, he took it as one of his privileges to nominate cardinal protectors for the countries under his dominion, to nominate them to the Pope. And he nominated one particular cardinal protector of Ireland in 1737. And it's in a plaque inside in the house that that man came to take up a seal of office in St. Isidore's, according to custom, on the 17th of March, 1737. So that's the old historical aspect to it. More recently, I think it was in 1903, that Conran Na Gaeilge prevailed on the authorities in Ireland to have St. Patrick's Day declared as a public holiday. So there's the more ancient one going back to the 17th century, and then there's the recent 20th century introduction of St. Patrick's Day as a national holiday.
What do you think we can learn from St. Patrick today?
What can we learn from St. Patrick today? St. Patrick was an immigrant and an outsider and a refugee in Ireland. In fact, he was kidnapped. He came to Ireland first, very much against his will. He was badly treated, but he managed to escape. But at the same time, he had some inner conviction that the Irish people were worthwhile. And he studied and prayed. And under what he saw as divine inspiration, he decided to go back and introduce Christianity to them. So, but he is one of our first known immigrants to Ireland. And when we think today maybe how harshly we tend to treat immigrants, we should remember that St. Patrick was our very first immigrant. Yeah. And we learned much more from him maybe than he learned from us.
Maybe a lot of people can learn that today when you see what's going on in the Balkans and people coming from Syria, the whole migrant crisis that's going on today.
Well, I think very, very much so. Very, very much so on those lines.
It's the Year of Mercy this year as well. Again, putting St. Patrick into that context, can we draw something out there from the kind of the Jubilee of Mercy and having a saint like St. Patrick?
That's a difficult one to answer, because we are fortunate with St. Patrick that as an early writer, I mean, we have documents. So many of the early saints, they have left no writings behind them. And with all the controversies and all the legends associated with St. Patrick, we can point to two documents, his confession and his letter to Caroticus, which are early, very, very early 5th century documents written on the outer western peripheries of Europe. They are the first Latin documents of that period, so they are very, very valuable in themselves. He was very, very conscious himself of God's mercy to him. He was very, very conscious of that. And I think, and that he, you know, that he was directed by God. He saw God's direction all through his life. He saw God saving him from dangers. He saw God rescuing him, saving from dangers, guiding him in a certain direction. He was very, very conscious of God's mercy, maybe long before the term became popular as it is now.
St. Isidore's kind of becomes the centre of Irish Roman life in the sense on St. Patrick's Day because there's the Mass and, you know, the Irish community come. Is that a privilege for the community here to have that, to have people coming on St. Patrick's Day celebrating Mass here in St. Isidore's?
St. Isidore's is the oldest Irish foundation in Rome. It goes back to 1625, and right through the centuries, St. Isidore's acted as an unofficial Irish embassy. And you could say that Luke Wadding, the founder of St. Isidore's, was really the first Irish ambassador to Rome and to Italy. And right through, whether they were people studying for the priesthood, where they were political exiles or religious exiles, right through the centuries, there was always this connection between St. Isidore's and the Irish community in Rome. In fact, even the Irish College, which is now the premier Irish college on the continent, it was founded by Luke Wadding. It was just across the road from St. Isidore's. He founded that in 1628. And I think we would be very conscious of, while St. Isidore's at the present time, there are only two Irish members of the community, it's an international house, but we are extremely conscious of the Irish links and the Irish connections, and we want to maintain them as much as possible, and not only maintain them but actually develop them. And there are quite a number of, you know, our archives are very rich. Some of the artwork in the church is very rich. For example, the artist Amelia Curran is buried here, and she was the sister of Sarah Curran, who's the fiancée of Robert Emmet. So, I mean, we have very, very strong links with Ireland.